This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program blesses you and encourages you and maybe even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, again, my website is bdcministries.com, bdcministries, lowercase, one word, bdcministries.com. And you can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can download it and listen to it later. You can pass it on to others through email or through some of the other social media that we have. So you can just link to it and send the link on to others. You can also download it and send the download on to others. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we are interested in your comments on the program. We'd love to hear how it's helped you, and if you've got comments with regard to things that have bothered you, we would be happy to take those, and we would be happy to take prayer requests as well. Now, as you know, we're working through the Ten Commandments as given in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20. And as we look through these Ten Commandments, we're trying to view them through the lens of the New Testament, through things that the New Testament writers, particularly in the epistles, have told us. Because Paul has made it clear to us that we don't get to heaven by being a Jew and keeping the Jewish ceremonies and keeping the Jewish law. Now, he has no problem with people practicing those things as long as those things are not the things that they're depending upon to get to heaven. And when it comes to Gentiles, those of us who are not Jews, most people that I talk to say, well, I try to be a good person, I try to do the best I can, and some say I try to keep the Ten Commandments. And Paul and others have made it clear that we don't have the ability to keep or guard the Ten Commandments and to keep them as we ought. And as we've gone through the Ten Commandments, I don't think they include everything that offends the Lord. But if we could just in some way realize that these are standards that help us understand what we ought to be, and therefore they help us understand what we're not, it would bring us to an understanding of who Christ was and how that he died for our sins, how that he was willing to be the one who died, the just one for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We would understand if we tried to keep these commandments, we would understand that it would give a moral order to our society that even today we do not have. But it would also help us to understand and our own sin nature. It would humble us and make us people that really appreciated what the Lord has done for us at the cross. Now, we're coming to the seventh commandment today, which is, you shall not steal. That seems to be pretty straightforward, excepting that it's obvious that there's many ways to steal today. And people are still thieving, thieves today. I know that when I was teaching accounting, I used to tell my students, make sure that if you're going to rob a bank, you do it with a pencil. Don't do it with a gun. If you go in and do it with a gun, you might not get anything, but you're going to get time, a great deal of time behind bars. But if you do it with a pencil, that is, if you embezzle and are able to do if you're able to take money by covering it up with a pencil, that is, with bookkeeping gymnastics, likely you'll have a very light sentence. And I could give example after example where that was true. But was one more important than the other? Well, yes, it was. When you use a gun, there's always the threat of taking someone's life as well, which involves the idea of at least manslaughter, if not murder. Whereas if you work with a pencil, most people are willing to believe that insurance or bonding will cover the problem and they're not hurting anybody. Well, they are hurting people because everybody pays when in some way either through insurance premiums or some other way when people are dishonest. So it's wrong to be a thief, even with a gun. It's wrong to be a thief with a pencil. But the Bible is clear that the matter of being a thief does teach us some New Testament truths that we need to know. Now, one thing we'll notice if we study this matter of thievery in the Bible is that stealing is wrong, even if it's done because basic needs need to be met. So, for example, in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, "Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry." And I know of people who would really take food out of somebody's garden when they're hungry without asking, and technically that's thievery. I know that when I was young, my dad had apple trees, and we had strawberry patches, and we had raspberry patches, and a lot of gardening. We did a lot of gardening. My dad had at one time been involved in the migrant workers who helped bring in the fields. I think it was potato fields in North Dakota, and he rode the trains, and they got hungry, and they would, if they could, they would sometimes take carrots or other produce out of people's gardens as they passed by and ate them. And of course they hadn't asked for it, so technically in my mind that was thievery. But my dad took the attitude that if people come and took apples off his apple tree and ate them, or if they went and, without hurting the beds, took strawberries and ate them, he didn't have a problem with that. But if they brought along a bushel basket and took produce that they didn't need for their current need, then he got upset about it. Now, I'm not saying that his standard was the right standard, but it does show that sometimes we don't really have a problem with those people who take things because they are in need. But it's still wrong as far as God is concerned. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if you go back and look at the consequences of that kind of thievery, even that has consequences as far as the Old Testament is concerned. Proverbs 30 and verse 6 says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches." Now this is interesting. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" And that's the rich people. You think they do it all, get their riches all on their own strength, and because they're simply able to operate better than other people in this business world. He says, "Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Now notice that we talked about taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. And if we steal because we're poor, this says that that's one way that we are dishonoring the name of God. So we're taking the name of our God in vain. So we have to understand that these commandments tend to interlock. They lead into each other. For example, as we look at this one, "Thou shalt not steal," we're going to find that it's closely related to being covetous. And we'll deal with covetousness later on. But stealing is the act. Covetousness is the attitude or the mindset. And even if the act is not carried out, there's a mindset there. So we can see that these things are standards that would order society if we would just make sure that we use them as guidelines for behavior in our society. But we know that most of us want to be rich, but if we're rich, we'd like to believe we're rich because we were good at what we did, and because we got up early in the morning and we worked hard and we saved our money and we didn't spend it. And you know all the things that were taught by our parents when we're young, particularly parents that went through the Depression. And so there's a certain pride associated with being rich. And yet, if we're very poor, we may have done the very same things the rich people have done, and it may not have worked out. There may have been circumstances that caused us to be poor. We might have had sickness. We might have had situations, accidents, or other situations that caused big bills. And yet, if we get very poor, we might feel the only way out is to steal, and that is going to be taking the name of our God in vain. But no matter what we do, if we steal, if we take, what is not our own, then there are consequences. In Exodus 22, we read about that. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, 4 sheep for a sheep. And so in the second verse it says, if the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. So a thief who breaks in and is killed in the process is not, the person who does that is not guilty of murder or manslaughter. They can defend their own property. But what's really interesting about this is that while there are consequences for being a thief, and I sometimes wonder if in our society those consequences are proper and if they're carried out properly, but nevertheless, we find out in the New Testament that the thief that really strikes us as being one that should have loved the Lord and instead took advantage of the Lord was Judas. Because if we read from John chapter 12 and verse 6, now remember, Judas was one of the 12. Judas was given the ability to do the sign miracles that the other disciples were told to do when they were told to cast out demons and to heal and so forth. They were able to do that. It appears Judas was part of that. He saw the power of the Lord, but he also was their treasurer, and he carried what's called the bag. That is, he had control over the funds, and he then was going to go at the Last Supper and go out, and people thought he was going to go out and give to the poor, but it says this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money bag, and he used to take what was put in it. He was taking what was not his. How many people do that today? They have control over other people's money, and it may be a trustee. It may be somebody who sees money laying aside in an executor's account, and they take advantage of it. They say, "Oh, I'm going to pay it back," but sometimes they can't. But the point is, no matter how you do it, with a pencil or with a gun, it's thievery. And so and this is a point I really need to make. We preach that if you're saved, you should be different. You should have a conscience about these things. But the reason we have New Testament writers writing about them is because in the New Testament, there were people who were saved who needed to be told about the standards of God. And hopefully, if they were really saved, it convicted them and they changed. So Peter writes, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's business. You see, he writes that because those were conditions that did exist amongst believers at that time. They shouldn't have, but they did. So you couldn't be saved and have some problems. But if you have these problems and you read the scriptures, you should confess your sin and forsake it. So we're thankful for the Lord who loves us enough to die for us and put away our sins, whether they're sins that occur before we're saved or sins that occur after we're saved. But remember that the Lord himself is not a thief. He, if we were to read on, he is one who enters by the door, and he's the shepherd of the sheep. He's not a sheep stealer. He cares for his sheep, and he loves us and not only saves us, but then he provides for us, and he knows us by name. Thank the Lord for that. The Lord is not a thief. He's coming as a thief, as one who is not going to be expected when he comes. But he is not a thief. He is the true shepherd of the sheep. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson, and bless those who are listening as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.